What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Dad Needs to Talk. I'm your host, Robert, and today I'm going to be talking about my favorite anime of the fall 2023 season. But before I get to that, as always, if this is your first time here, then welcome. But if you're a returning listener and or watcher, then welcome back. Y'all know here at Dad Needs to Talk, it's all about fatherhood and family, manga, anime, and some video games. So, it is a holiday week for me, for a lot of us. I hope everybody out there is doing well. I hope that y'all are able to maybe get a little bit of time off from work or whatever stuff that you're doing. But yeah, overall, I just hope everybody out there is doing well. Man, it has been a busy week for me as usual. And what I'll say up top, for anybody that might be new here or whatever, as always, I have timestamps for everything below. So if you want to skip ahead to the fall season stuff, whatever, check the comments or the description for timestamps for that. But as always, I start off the episode with a little bit of a life check-in and update, you know, just letting y'all know how things are going with me and things of that nature. So yeah, so like I said, this last week has been fairly busy. I did get to finally take a few days off end of last week, because I mentioned an episode or two back that once we kind of got on the other side of this humongous project where we just set up 5 or 6 new clinics, that I was going to take some time off. So I did. So I took 3 days off, which pretty much no turn it, because I took off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So they gave me 3 weekdays into the weekend and stuff. And then, of course, we're about to have a day or so off for Thanksgiving this week. But yeah, so it was nice to finally just to kind of catch up on some rest and some sleep. But of course, as always, y'all know with me, there's still going to be some family stuff going on. So I left work Tuesday a little early, because it was the first day of my daughter's cross-country meet, so I had to go to that location. They did well. I think the oldest daughter, the one that's been running, I think she did 6th, which is okay for her first thing. I think the other one did maybe like 11th or something like that. And then we fast forward to Thursday, the main event, basketball season started for 8th grade for all 3 of my big ones. And they all did super awesome. They all did fantastically. My oldest son, his team won. I think he had 13 or 15 points. He's the team captain this year of his team. So that's pretty dope, him being able to step up into more of a leadership role and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see how he does in that position. My youngest daughter, who's also been playing most of her life as well, her team also won. She had 11 points. And then my other daughter, the one I mentioned earlier, who's been running track all her life, she decided to try out for basketball for the first time now. When they were all little, and I'm talking about when they were like 4 or 5 years old, we had them all do basketball and track for the YMCA when they were little. And so that was the last time she played basketball semi-organized, when she was like 5 years old. You know, somewhere between 4 to 6 years old or whatever. And she shocked everybody, myself included, because like I said, when she decided, like, hey, I want to try out for basketball this year, we was all like, really? Okay. You know, of course, track is to her number one love, but she wanted to give it a shot. And I guess, as they say, sometimes people are just natural born athletes. Because her first game out there, she had 8 points and like 7 or 8 steals. Like, she was going off. And so, but unfortunately, her team lost. But it was just pretty cool just to see that progress and stuff from her. So I'm excited to see her and all of the kids progress as the season and stuff goes forward once we come back from the from this holiday break. But yeah, so that's going good. Like I said, work is going solid, kind of in chill mode because it's holiday time. So a lot of people taking time off, you know, the work and requests and stuff have kind of slowed down a bit. So kind of give me a chance to kind of rest and recoup myself. And yeah, other than that, everything else is pretty much more or less going good. There are some things that got me a little stressed out, but doing my best to just kind of take things day by day, one step at a time. And yeah, so, and I have my eye this week trying to see if there might be potentially some games or something or some other stuff that I might be able to scoop up for some potential Black Friday deals. I don't know if any of y'all out there got anything specific that y'all are hunting down. I don't too much this year, and I feel like that's kind of been the case for like the last couple of years because I feel like I've gotten to a place now life-wise to where a lot of stuff that I used to hunt down for during Black Friday is like, oh, I'm gonna get a really nice big TV at a good price, or I'm gonna get all these games or find this thing, that thing, whatever. Most of that stuff I've gotten and I'm good on. Like, I don't need no more TVs in my house. I know I've probably mentioned before, but it's like me and my wife both have 50-inch TVs side by side in our bedroom, and then I got like I think another 50 in the living room that my oldest son uses, and then there's one in the boys' room and then one in the girls' room that are like maybe 32 inches I think or something like that. So we're good on screens and stuff. Only thing I'm really kind of looking for is maybe some games that I kind of passed on earlier this year or whatever that I'm like, maybe I'll, you know, pick that up when I find it on sale, because I still kind of want to play Assassin's Creed Mirage, but right now it's only on sale for $40, which is just $10 cheaper. Not bad, but I want to see if I can maybe wait and find it for like 30 or something, because I'm not really in a rush to really play it right now. I'm trying to think, and I feel like it was some other stuff, but that's Not too much on. Oh, and of course some gaming subscriptions as well. So if I can find some like Game Pass Ultimate subscriptions or PlayStation Plus, like I used to do in the past, trying to find some good deals on those. Maybe stack up on a few of those. But yeah, other than that, not too much other I'm kind of looking forward to. So yeah. So aside from that, I don't think there's really any new stuff I really want to touch on. Since last time, or I guess I just mentioned just in quick passing, it was leaked. It was long rumored, then leaked, then officially announced. They are doing a Last of Us Part 2 remaster for PS5 that's coming in January. And of course, as the internet does, people are in an uproar like, oh my God, they're remastering a 3-year-old game and blah, 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 blah. But for one, nobody's forcing y'all to buy this stuff. And two, if you already own the game, like me, like moi, then it's a $10 upgrade for the PS5 version, which actually has some pretty cool little things. Let me see if I can actually find it real quick. Okay, so like I mentioned, some of the things that you get in this, aside from some graphical enhancements, is of course full DualSense integration with the controller stuff. The two big main things is they are adding in, I think they specifically said three or so lost levels. So these are levels that they had originally designed for the game, but for whatever reason they got cut and didn't make it. Those areas will be fully playable, so you can kind of explore them with dev commentary. And then the big one is a new mode called No Return. It's a roguelike mode to where, actually, let me pull it up and read through it, because this part sounds pretty dope. Whoops, I hate when it does that. Let's see. Okay, so each run will offer a new chance to decide what rewards you get after each encounter, how you spec out your character, and more. Unlock more character skins, and more as you progress to use the mode, customize your own runs, and compete in global leaderboards. So basically, it's kind of like a survival mode type of thing, to where you can play as different characters from the game. And that sounds freaking cool to me. I don't really play too many things like that or whatever, but like I said, hey, already on the game, it's freaking $10. And like, so you get these extra levels and this extra mode and stuff. That's pretty much a steal for me. So, but yeah, so that'll be out January 19th. So if you're interested in that, go check it out. But yeah, aside from that, I don't think there's nothing else I really wanted to talk about and highlight. So let's go and just dive into some of this anime. So fall season has been so good. So good. And so, like I said, I kind of just wanted to highlight some of the shows that I've been keeping up with, the things that stick out to me, and maybe put some potential hidden gems, or maybe some stuff you hadn't even heard of, on your radar. So I'm gonna go ahead and say up front, I'm mainly gonna be talking about brand new stuff for this season specifically. So I will not be talking about Jujutsu Kaisen, as awesome as that is, the season and stuff is. I personally don't have too much more I can add commentary wise, so I don't want to waste my time or your time and stuff. So plus I'm a manga reader on that, so yeah. So yeah, so Jujutsu Kaisen is awesome, but that's not what we're here for. So the first one I want to start with is actually one that I reviewed the manga, the first volume of the manga for, I believe a year or two ago, and that is Frieren Beyond Journey's End. Now, this one and another show I'm going to talk about in a second, I am so happy they dropped, I believe they dropped 4 episodes for this at once, which pretty much covered all of the first volume, which was awesome for me because it's okay, hey, I can just binge everything I've already read, but now in beautiful animation, music, all that stuff. So backing up, so Frieren Beyond Journey's End, basically we follow this mage elf named Frieren, who was part of the hero party that defeated the Demon King. But the series basically follows her kind of coming to terms with the people that she went on her journey with, and also learning to cherish the smaller moments of time and those around her, because with her being an elf, her perception of time is like vastly different from the normal person. So like 50 years, a couple hundred years, it's nothing to her because she's already been alive for well over 1,000+ years. And so this is just a beautiful kind of like fantasy adventure kind of slice of life show where you're just following Frieren as she kind of goes on this journey through this land, and she ends up picking up some apprentices and stuff along the way who kind of help her see things in the present, but also kind of reflect on things of the past. And I love how they kind of interweave the flashbacks and kind of give us more information on Frieren, on all the different other heroes in our party from back in the day, and all that stuff. So it is just a fantastic show. It is definitely a must-watch show that I tune in for every week. It's like, hey, no matter what, every Friday, I'm going to watch it. So check out Frieren. It's on Crunchyroll is where I'm watching it. And yeah, I'm excited because after those first 4 episodes, it's been all new stuff to me. And that has been super awesome. And I think that's kind of what I've been aiming to do with certain series, to where if I know that there's an anime on the horizon, and sometimes even if I don't, I try to not go super, super crazy with reading it. Now, of course, there's some stuff to where it just hooks me, like something that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But sometimes I'll read a volume, I'm like, man, that was solid, but I'm going to wait a little bit and stuff. Because sometimes I kind of end up in a situation where it's like, I read a whole bunch of it, and then when the anime comes out, even though the anime is super awesome for a series, I either maybe stop watching it, or I just put off watching it to a later time. Just like a prime example earlier this year was Oshi no Ko, because I am well beyond what they covered in that first season of the anime, and I thought the anime was fantastic. Like, the production value, the voice acting, everything was awesome, whatever, but I think because I already kind of knew what was coming, whatever, I didn't watch it, so I definitely want to circle back to it at some point. But that's one of the things that's like, crap, man. Something that I loved reading got an awesome adaptation, but, you know, but hey, it happens, you know. So, and I guess since I'm kind of on that front, I'll go ahead and mention the other show that is one that I'm watching pretty much every week, but is also one that I already started reading, and that is Shangri-La Frontier. Now, this is another one that I believe I had read last year or so when I did a review and stuff of it. So this was one I've mentioned before about, if you are a gamer or have a gamer soul, then Shangri-La Frontier is the show for you. So this show follows a guy who his in-game name is Son Raku. And so he basically specializes in playing trash games. Like, he loves finding the crappiest games, but learning how to master them and beat them and stuff. And so one day when he's bored, he decides to try out this popular mainstream game called Shangri-La Frontier. And so this is basically just follows him on his adventure playing through this game, while also it still covers some of his life outside of the game, as well as it also shows him going back into some other side games and like trash games and stuff from time to time, which I think is pretty dope because it's part of who his character is. And I feel like, once again, those of us that are gamers or play games, sometimes, no matter how good a game is, sometimes you take a break from it and want to go back to, you know, a comfort game of yours or just something else just to kind of like break the pacing up. And that's what he does. But within the Shangri-La Frontier world, it is so dope because he ends up forming a party of different people he meets along the way. Some are people that he already knew from other video games or whatever that are now in a party with him now, and some of them are new. But basically, they're going on a quest throughout this world where they're basically aiming to take down these legendary kind of like colossi characters that are like basically kind of like legendary Pokemon, to where nobody knows the name of them, nobody knows their spawn rate, what causes them to appear, and things like that. So there's different guilds and stuff dedicated to each of the beasts, or whatever. So, Benu. So yeah, so Shangri-La Frontier, super dope. Like I said, if you're a lover of games or just love action stuff, then that is definitely one that I highly recommend. And I'm gonna just go ahead and mention this other one just to also get it out the way, because I was already kind of talking about it a little bit. As far as stuff that I've read a lot of, and that is Undead Unluck. Now, this Undead Unluck has unfortunately fallen into the same boat as Oshi no Ko did for me, whereas I am pretty much, well, I'm kind of behind. I'm like 50 or 60 chapters behind on Undead Unluck, but I am eons beyond what the anime stuff is covering right now. And so, while I am happy with the production quality of Undead Unluck, because I'm well beyond this, whatever. I just don't really have the urge to watch it week to week right now. But I definitely do plan on circling back to it because, for one, it's being done by David Productions, which is the same studio that does the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure series as well as Fire Force. So, you know, they're on point when it comes to showcasing abilities and sound effects and stuff. And for those who are wondering, like, Rob, what is Undead Unluck? So, Undead Unluck is basically kind of like a... It's more or less a action series that follows our two main characters, Fuko, who has the ability of Unluck, to where basically anybody that comes into direct contact with her, like her skin, physically, whatever, gets a stroke of Unluck. And it's all dependent upon how long the physical contact was, as well as how strong of a bond or connection that she has with the person. So it could be something as simple as, oh, you tripped and fell, or, you know, a tree branch falls off of a tree and hits somebody, whatever, to a bolt of lightning strikes you, or a freaking meteor from outer space comes and crashes down on you, and all types of crazy stuff, whatever. So that's her ability, and she feels guilty because she can't really get close to people as far as like forming relationships and stuff, whatever. But she ends up meeting this guy named Andy, who has the ability of undead, which means that he cannot die, so he is pretty much immortal. And so they basically go on a journey that kind of starts off with them trying to find a way to get a big enough stroke of Unluck to kill Andy. But along the way, they end up getting pulled into a bigger plot, which you kind of find out, and forgive me, because I don't know where the anime is yet, so I just kind of speak vaguely, but basically you find out that Andy was part of this thing in the past, but basically there's this organization that is trying to basically fight this oncoming problem. That's all I said for now, because I can't remember where the anime is in the story right now. But it definitely opens up more than just, oh, these two characters on a little fun adventure, you know, trying to kill this guy or whatever. It's like, no, there's like a really deep and bigger, like, world impact plot going on the background and stuff that kind of comes into play, like I said, if it hasn't already yet, within the coming episodes of the anime. So, but yeah, Undead Unluck, like I said, I enjoyed what I saw of that first episode. But like I said, it is definitely a unfortunate case of you know, I've already read it, so, you know, I'm not in a big rush to keep up with it week to week. All right, so this next one. This is the other one that is kind of up there with me with Frieren and Beyond Journey's End, and that is The Apothecary Diaries. Now, this is one that I had heard so much about in the past. I believe one of my podcast friends, Jessamine, I believe she's the one that I kind of originally heard this about from a year or so back. But this series basically follows, and I believe her name is pronounced Mamau, or Mao, I just say Mao, who she was basically an apothecary who basically specialized in like making medicines, testing poisons, and different things like that. She just lived a simple life with her father. Well, one day while she was out picking herbs and stuff, whatever, some guys kidnapped her and brought her to the royal palace, and basically she is trapped there on a contract where she has to work for one of the she originally kind of came in as like a kind of like a servant, and then over the course of the show she's worked her way up as her skills in medicine gets recognized. But it is just like such a very good, just kind of like, I don't know if it's really fantasy, but more so kind of like historical slice of life drama type of show that, like I said, kind of just like follows Mal as, like I said, she's kind of like trying to navigate her way during her time here at the palace and stuff, and her working with this guy named Jinshin to basically kind of like solve different mysteries and things going on within the Imperial Palace and stuff. So it's kind of tough for me to try to like describe it or whatever, but I just gotta say my main point is it is one that is definitely kind of like worth watching, because just like Frieren, like the production value of this show, it is like ridiculous as far as everything from the visuals, the music, the voice acting, everything, the story. It just like really pulls you in. And same thing with this, as Frieren, they dropped like 3 or so episodes the day one, and I was so happy that they did, because those were some great episodes to binge together. But Apothecary Diaries, that is another one that every Saturday, as soon as it drops, it is a priority watch for me every freaking week. So that's also on Crunchyroll. So go check that out. Trying to think, what are some other kind of like priority ones I'm watching? Let me see. Okay, so this next one, it's not the best, but I would say it kind of fits into that kind of comfort, kind of like okay tier type of show. And it's this one called A Playthrough of a Certain Dude's VR MMO Life. And so this one, once again, kind of like Shangri-La Frontier, but of course not as crazy high budget and stuff, whatever. I like this one just because it's kind of relatable to me in so many ways, because the main character is a 38-year-old male who works a normal job and stuff, who just enjoys playing games in his free time. And he's playing through this game where he kind of starts off purposely doing things to make sure he doesn't stand out, because like I said, he just loves to really play solo by himself, like me. And so he makes kind of like a basic looking character. He picks different skills and abilities that most people at the time wasn't picking. So like, he chose to be an archer. He chose to get the ability to like cook and craft potions and make weapons and stuff, whatever, smithing and stuff, whatever. And so it's just been just a fun little show to watch, to where along the way he plays ends up becoming beneficial to a lot of people. Because like, prime example, there was a glitch in the game to where none of the shops would let anybody buy items and stuff, whatever. And so that meant nobody could buy potions and different things like that. And so he was like the only person that could make potions. So he was making them for other players and making tons of money. But that kind of helped him in a way, though, because him making the potions was leveling up his skill set or whatever. Same thing with when people found out he could cook food. He was cooking and selling food for people. His cooking skill went up through the roof. Same thing with his archery and all these different things. And so overall, like I said, it is just a simple, fun show to watch. Like I said, it's nothing super crazy or spectacular about it, but it is still one of those kind of like comfort shows for me, kind of like last season with the Reborn as a Vending Machine anime, to where it didn't stick out too much or whatever, but something about it just kept pulling me back to watch it every week. And yeah, every week when new episodes come out or whatever, I am there day one, excited to watch it and stuff. A playthrough of A Certain Dude's VR MMO Life. So yeah, like I said, might be one, like I said, just a fun one to kind of check out and watch. What is this next one? Okay, so this is another one that this one is based off of a webtoon, I believe, and it is called A Returner's Magic Should Be Special. Now, I don't know what it is, but it's something about this show that, once again, it's nothing super crazy and over the top, but it is just a super okay show that is just comforting to watch. It looks good visually, and something about the plot of it just continues to pull me back. So basically, our main character named Desir, we kind of start off with basically kind of like a situation. This is kind of like a action fantasy type of series, to where we have this party of high class fighters and stuff fighting this giant demon creature thing, whatever. Well, they defeat it, but didn't know that the creature basically had kind of like a self-destruct thing that pretty much wipes out everybody in the party. And so the main character, Desir, he ends up waking up like 13 years in the past, to where when he had first went to school for all this stuff. And so he keeps all his knowledge and stuff, whatever. And so basically the show is following him on his journey to pretty much rebuild his team. And so with the knowledge that he has of all the people, his party mates, his friends, all that stuff, whatever, from 13 years in the future, he is now going back and he's like finding some of these people earlier, helping to train them up and different things like that, to prepare for this fight that is going to be coming in the future. And so, like I said, it is just like super, I find it super dope. Like I said, just that premise of somebody that has been through something, going back into the past, keeping that knowledge, and now trying to figure out, okay, hey, how can I better maneuver stuff, whatever, to prevent this from, you know, being a problem and stuff. So A Returner's Magic Should Be Special. Pretty cool watch, like I said, that I'm enjoying. And I think kind of like the last one that I'm like watching for sure every week is this one called, let me see if I can get it, The Kingdoms of Ruin. Now, this show, I'm a little torn on in a couple ways, because I think the main thing that keeps me coming back to this show is the constant shock factor. Because what I'll say is that for me, well, I guess before I dive into all that stuff, whatever, what it is. So The Kingdoms of Ruin basically follows the main character, Adonis, who is an apprentice, who is a witch's apprentice. Now, he's human. So in this world, there's witches and stuff. And in the past, they were kind of like, basically kind of like benevolent beings or whatever, helping humanity with different things or whatever. Well, one day, humanity decides to, hey, we don't want to depend on witches no more, so we're going to kind of build up our technology and resources and stuff and wipe out all the witches. And so pretty much that's where the story kind of starts off, with Adonis's mentor pretty much getting brutally taken out in that first episode, like super brutal. And so Adonis gets captured, and then there's a 10-year time skip, and then he ends up getting free, and thus pretty much starting his path of revenge against humanity and all of those who have wronged his master. Chloe, who trained him and raised him and stuff. So that's kind of it in a super basic nutshell. And like I said, it doesn't have anything like super special story or plot wise. But like I said, I think just because of the fact of like the shock factor of like how brutal some of these moments and stuff are, you know, characters getting killed off and just double crossing and just different stuff happening, that it's just like, whoa, okay, they're doing that or whatever. And that's pretty much what it's got going on for it. So it's pretty much, you know, an action fantasy type of series that, like I said, it is definitely, for me personally, not the best thing I'm watching this season. But like I said, it is just simply that shock factor that is just keeping me watching it every week or whatever. But it's not super high as far as like, hey, you must watch this or whatever. But like I said, it is something that I am kind of keeping up with and stuff. So now, this next batch of stuff I'm going to talk about is shows that I am enjoying, but that I am kind of enjoying watching in batches. Oh, hold on. The other show that I am priority watching every week, and I definitely love this more than Kingdoms of Ruin, and that is a long name. My Daughter Left the Nest and Returned in S-Rank Adventure, or as I just call it, S-Rank Daughter. So this is a action fantasy series. No, it is not an isekai because of the name, the long crazy name. It is just a simple fantasy series that follows a adventurer named Belgrave, who during his event, he was a seemingly super strong adventurer in his younger days, suffered an injury fighting a enemy and retired. Well, one day when he was exploring the woods, he finds an abandoned child and he takes her in and raises her. And so, Angeline, and so she grows up and then she decides that she also wants to become an adventurer. So she leaves the village or whatever to go off and become an adventurer. And she ends up becoming S-rank, super well-known legendary adventurer or whatever. And so the show is pretty much just following this father-daughter bond as they go on their different adventures separately, but also some stuff, some situations they get into together, and kind of like learning this bigger plot of these kind of like demon kings that are kind of getting summoned or coming back or something, as well as getting maybe a little bit more insight into the father, because the dad thinks that he was a weak adventurer because he got taken out when he was super young or whatever. But as the story has kind of gone on, it is looking like he lost his leg not to just some random creature or whatever. Seemingly, it seems like he might have lost his leg to one of these freaking Demon King things, just by the way that they're showing it in the flashback and kind of like says, as how things have been getting revealed as the show has gone on or whatever. And so, but I love it just because it is just such a wholesome show to watch. Because, of course, anytime there's like a parent and child, especially like a father and child situation going on in a show, y'all know I gotta check it out and stuff. This is Daddy's Talk after all. And like I said, this is just one of those comfort shows that I just enjoy watching every week and stuff. So, and like I said, I'm just enjoying seeing more of the bigger world and lore and backstory kind of come out and flesh out and stuff as it's gone. So yeah, so S-Rank Daughter, or My Daughter Left the Nest and Return to S-Rank Adventurer, is one that I am thoroughly enjoying as well. Okay, so next up is a show that I think might be moving into my weekly watches now, and that is Shy. Now, Shy is a series that I have reviewed the first volume for, I believe this time last year, and I ended up reading a little bit past where that first volume was online, and so I had purposely waited, or I had watched episode one, and then purposely waited a while before watching some more. So before I get into all that, Shy is basically kind of like a superhero type of anime, to where it follows this young lady named, who her superhero name is Shy. And so in this world, it says during, on the brink of a third world war, superheroes appeared on Earth. So basically different people started popping up around the world that had special abilities and powers. And so the structure of how things have been so far is that, like, there seems to be just like one main hero popping up in various countries and stuff. And so Shy is the superhero for Japan. And so it is kind of like the show basically follows her adventures doing missions and stuff to save Japan, while also working with a lot of the different heroes from around the world. Pepesha, who is the Russian hero, she loves vodka. David, I can't remember what country he's from. Police, I believe she was. Sorry, I can't remember all these different countries. Switzerland, so she was from the, she's the Switzerland hero. David, where was he from? British, should have figured. He's the British hero, and so on and so forth. And so they basically do go on different missions together, and she ends up being a key, a component to helping to try to track down this unknown villain that kind of popped up out of nowhere, who basically taps into the darkness of people's hearts and kind of starts, and it kind of transforms the people into like these kind of like crazy crystallized creatures or whatever that feed off of the hate in their heart. And so it starts off a little slow in the beginning, I would say, but I think that is why this is probably like a good candidate for waiting to watch a few episodes, because I had waited until, let me see, episode 8 came out today, today. And so I had watched 6 or 7 episodes over the weekend, after I had watched episode 1 when it originally aired a couple months back, and decided to just hold off because there's so many shows to watch in so little time. And I feel like that was the best move, because I had got to the episode to, which I think it was like episode 5, which is where I had stopped reading it a year ago. And then from there, I got to watch some brand new stuff. And that's when stuff really, really, really started ramping up, with learning more about the faction of the antagonists and the evil people and stuff, and seeing more of how their abilities and stuff work. So all the heroes wear these kind of like heart bracelet things, whatever, that basically helps them to use their powers and their abilities. And so it seems like you have like some kind of like some like basic abilities and stuff, whatever, but everybody has like a special power that kind of awakens once they kind of like tap into like what their heart is passionate about and things like that. And so Shy uses fire. Pepesha, she uses kind of like a smoke cloud ability. David, his ability is kind of like a kind of not in a way, kind of like reminds me of kind of like a Gojo from Jujutsu Kaisen, his kind of like infinity thing, to where it's like, as long as he has like a strong will, then most attacks and moves and stuff, whatever, aren't going to be able to touch him or whatever. And so But yeah, so it's been super dope. Like I said, especially these last 3 to 4 episodes, like seeing like, okay, like the bigger plot is really showing and ramping up. We're getting some really nice heavy action scenes and stuff, whatever. But yeah, so Shy, I think, might be part of my weekly watches now that I got caught up with this. So check out Shy. This next one is one that I prefer watching in a couple of, maybe like a couple episodes at a time, and that is Miki and Dolly. Now, this series is actually made by the same creator who made the series Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto, which I know a lot of people enjoyed that series back in the day. Well, Miki and Dolly is kind of like a mystery drama slice of life series that basically follows these two twins named Miki and Dolly, and they're basically on a mission to try to figure out the mystery behind their mother's death that happened when they were kids. But they are doing that by disguising themselves as one child. So they ended up tricking this couple into adopting them. But they've been playing off like they adopted one child. So they're taking turns, you know, doing different things at school, around the house, or doing things together in secret while, you know, somebody's back is turned or whatever the case may be, whatever. And so this show has like a really great mix of some humor with some kind of like dark, twisted side to it. Because like I said, there's kind of like some like goofy shenanigans with these two, like I said, kind of like pretending to be one child and how they're kind of like pulling that off. But then there's like the darker, more serious tone and vibe with the stuff regarding them trying to find out stuff about what happened to their mother and the town that they potentially grew up in and the residents and different things like that. So it's been, I was enjoying those early episodes, but these more recent episodes, as we've gotten more truth reveals and things like that, have been super, super, super awesome to see. So Miki and Dolly, pretty cool show. So yeah, check that one out. Like I said, mine might be more better off as a binge watch. Okay, so this next one is another one in the category of I like it better watching it a few episodes at a time, and that is Ron Komonohashi's Forbidden Deductions. Now, this one is also created by an author who is well known for another series, and the author who created this also created, Lord, where is it at? Sorry. Let me pull it up real quick. She also made, drum roll, Hitman Reborn. So the creator of Hitman Reborn and let me see. Okay, she did character designs for Psycho Pass. But Hitman Reborn is the main series that the author was previously known for. So she also created this Ron Komonohashi's Forbidden Deductions. Now, this one is a detective drama mystery series that basically follows this guy who was once revered as the greatest detective of this generation. Only thing though is that he had a flaw to where while he had 100% case solving record of he solved every case he ever got, the problem is that he always ended up talking the people who did the crime or whatever into killing themselves. And so he had a 100% case solved record or a mystery solved, but he never did good on the arrest side because they all ended up dead. And so this series basically follows him teaming up with kind of like a young kind of like upstart detective Totomaru, who is basically kind of like helping to balance him out in a way to where he is kind of like his voice of reason, to where Ron is a brilliant detective or whatever, and Totomaru basically is there to kind of like help keep him on track, steer him away from the talking people into murdering themselves and stuff, whatever. But yeah, so overall, it's been like a pretty chill, like I said, show. But like I said, I prefer watching it a couple episodes at a time. I feel like that kind of flows better for me because, and I noticed that because I had watched the first episode, enjoyed it, and then I had waited until, I waited until five episodes, so I binged like episode like 2 through 5 or 6 or something together, and that ended up working out in my favor because a few of those episodes were kind of like a small like mini arc or whatever and stuff. So but yeah, so like I said, it's a pretty solid show, but like I said, one that might be more of a binge later versus, you know, trying to keep up with it you know, week to week. Now, this is another show that I'm about to talk about that kind of falls into those family type of shows that I got to check out. And that is the Yuzuki Family's Four Sons. Now, the way I described this when I was talking about it on Twitter yesterday is that I can't remember the exact word, but basically it's like wholesome sadness or wholesome heartbreaking, because it follows these four brothers, Hayato, Mikoto, Minato, and Gakuto, who all range in ages. I think the oldest son, I think he is 24, and then I think they're 12, 11, and 6, which is the age range of some of my kids, so which is kind of interesting. But basically, we still don't know 100% the details of like what happened, but basically they lost both of their parents a couple years back in an accident or something, we don't know. And so they basically just been living together as a family with, of course, the oldest son helping to raise, you know, his younger brothers, and them all kind of working together. And like I said, it has some very sweet and wholesome, heartfelt moments just watching the various dynamics and stuff of the siblings and stuff, while also kind of exploring some of the hardships that they're facing with just living life in general, but also with some of their dynamics together, because like the two middle sons, they are literally 11 months apart in age, to where, you know, one, like I said, I think they said like one was born in April of 1 year and the other one was born in March of the following year, because the other one, he was born a little bit prematurely. And so, of course, that creates a little bit of headbutting because, you know, the second oldest son, he never really got that full chance to experience really being the baby or whatever before, you know, with the third brother kind of being born prematurely with some health problems, he got a lot of the attention and stuff, whatever. And so the other one was kind of forced into a position of, hey, you're the big brother, you're the older one, you know, you should know better, do better, da 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 da. And it's just like a lot of things like that, to where it's really heartfelt. And like I said, just really makes you think about family dynamics, whether it be if you're a parent yourself with kids, or if you're somebody who has siblings or just close family like this or whatever. I definitely recommend checking out this show. But like I said, it is definitely hit you in the heart. I've only watched like 2 or 3 episodes so far, but I definitely plan on watching more a little bit at a time. So this is one I don't necessarily need to be watching week to week, but it is definitely one that I'm glad I finally got around to check out, because like I said, it is got some really good heartfelt stuff. But like I said, it also definitely is some hard-hitting stuff, because I'm like, man, this is some stuff I can relate to, both as a parent and also somebody who has siblings and, you know, just different family dynamics and stuff like that or whatever. So the Yuzuki family's four sons. Okay, and I think one of the kind of like the last main ones I'm gonna touch on is this kind of mech type of show called Bull Buster. Now, what do they classify this? Okay, yeah, they just classify it as a mecha. So the thing with this show is that it basically follows this group of people who work at a company who are basically trying to work on clearing out these mysterious creatures that just started showing up on this island a year or so back or whatever. And so they're basically working together with these mechs and this research company, different things or whatever, to try to figure out, okay, what are these creatures? Where are they coming from? How do we stop them or whatever? Because the island itself is pretty much uninhabitable right now, to where nobody can live there. So all of the residents and stuff were forced off the island, forced to take up refuge, living somewhere else, finding part-time jobs and stuff, just trying to scrape by just to live and stuff. And so, like I said, this company who has some people who lived on that island and stuff, whatever, trying to work and stuff. And so this show is kind of interesting in a way, because it kind of follows a lot of the kind of like inter-office and corporate politics that goes into a lot of stuff that I feel like a lot of us, anybody that has kind of worked any type of like corporate type of job, can relate to some of the stuff going on here, to where it's like there's a main character that's part of the team who's kind of like the head finance guy, to where along the way he's like figuring out, okay, how, you know, hey, all this stuff is costing money and different things, like, hey, we need to get these repairs, or we need to get this special tools or devices or whatever. And he's like, well, if we do this, it's going to put us over budget and different things like that. And so, I don't know, like I said, it's not like a super crazy show, good show, whatever, but it's one that has a bit of heart in it. And the biggest knock I can give to the show is the CG on the creatures, because the CG does not look that good or whatever, but it also kind of gives like the creatures this kind of like, literally, you do not belong here look to them or whatever. They kind of fits the theme of the story and stuff, whatever. But aside from that, like I said, I'm kind of liking seeing some of the inter-office headbutting and stuff, as well as kind of where we're at now, because we're 7-8 episodes into the show now, where we're kind of starting to get some answers into, whoa, okay, we might kind of starting to figure out what these creatures are, and maybe even getting some clue as to, you know, maybe some things of like what is causing them to pop up or whatever. So, but I don't know. Like I said, it's a little mech show, whatever, like I said, called Bull Buster. Might be one, like I said, maybe check out, maybe watch a few episodes or whatever. But, you know, like I said, that's kind of one. That might be one that, since I kind of waited until it was halfway over to watch it to catch up, that it might be one that I'll wait until it finishes off, because it's only going to be 12 episodes, so it's only got like 4 or so episodes left. So I might just wait until it's all done and then just finish binging it and stuff. So at that point, so those are kind of like the main shows that I am priority watching right now. There's another show, an animated show I just kind of want to give a shout out to called, it's on Netflix, called Blue Eye Samurai. Now, I did a whole separate review for it last week, so go check out my review for that, but I just wanted to mention this right now while I'm talking about stuff that come out in the fall or whatever, to where even though it's not a traditional anime or whatever, but still might be something that a lot of y'all might be interested in checking out. Like I said, go check out my review for it. The short synopsis I can give for whatever is that basically it follows a samurai who is basically shunned because she is born of a mixed background, because this is during the time where Japan had closed its borders, and so they weren't allowing any foreigners in or anybody out. But a couple of European guys got into the country doing some dealings and stuff, whatever, and met this lady, slept with her, thus they had this mixed baby, and this child grew up to go on a path of revenge to figure out, okay, who these European men were that came into the country that basically ruined so many things, would have gave her so many hardships and stuff. And it was a fantastic show. So that's all I'm gonna say on that. Go check out the review for it on the channel. Like I said, it's both video on YouTube and audio on all podcast services, as all my stuff usually is. So go check out Blue Eye Samurai. So the last couple of things I just kind of want to mention in passing that I had kind of started, and I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'm gonna circle back to them or not. So, let me see. Ragnar Crimson. This is one that it's also kind of a case to where a character was going through something in like the present day, and then he ends up sending his consciousness back like 30, 40 years to his previous self. To try to, like, I guess, like, save their friend or something or whatever. So, I don't know. This is one also that I read the first volume for and thought it was okay. But I know that people say that, like, volume four is when things, like, really turn up or whatever. And so, this might be one where I might maybe check out a few more episodes at a time. But I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence of it right now. Like I said, this might also just be one of those ones where it's like, hey, I'm just not meant to really watch. I'm just not in the right headspace to watch this right now, so I might circle back to it later on. Same thing with Under Ninja, and this is one also that I had read the first volume of earlier this year. This is written by the same, or this was created by, whoops, sorry, by the same author that did this zombie series called I Am a Hero that I started reading. I still need to finish, but basically it follows modern day ninjas. So if there were ninjas in the current day in Japan, and so yeah, that's kind of like it in a super basic nutshell. And so the premise and stuff of it is pretty dope. And like I said, I liked what I read and what I watched with that first episode or so. But this is also one that I think I might just kind of just have to take an evening, binge watch a few episodes or whatever before deciding, okay, if I'm going to stick with it, or like I said, maybe I might put it on pause and circle back to it at a later date. So yeah, so Under Ninja is one. What else? Firefighter Daigo. This is one that I think I watched. Did I only watch the first episode? Yeah. So, this is one that I might kind of circle back to. So, this one basically follows Daigo, who is a firefighter. And I believe it, from what I tell it, it just follows just like his adventures going out on firefighting missions. Like I said, I've only watched the first episode. Maybe there's more to it or whatever. So, but I don't know. Just something about it. Maybe I might check it out. So, but like I said, this is one. Watched the first episode, I liked it, but it wasn't one that was like a priority watch for me right now. That's kind of it. This other one I watched a couple episodes of called A 16-Bit Sensation, to where it follows this young lady who is a illustrator on making, I think it's called Bishoujo games, basically kind of like visual novels and stuff. Well, something happens to where she ends up going back into like the 90s, and so working at a game company back then. But from what I saw in that first episode or two, it seemed like she might be able to go back and forth between the present and back then. So for that reason, that was interesting, because like I said, you know, kind of has like that gaming sense, and kind of in a small way, definitely not immediately grabbing my attention as strongly as of that series Remake Our Lives did a year or so back. But like I said, just the premise of somebody who's an illustrator in present day game making going back to the 90s and maybe trying to figure out and do some stuff there or whatever, there might be something there potentially. Like I said, I don't know, but once again, not a priority watch for me right now. So like I said, maybe one I might circle back to at a later date or time. So but yeah, so that's pretty much it for the main stuff I'm checking out for the fall season. Let me just kind of browse through this list one more time just to see if there's something else I plan on checking out. Dr. Stone, been hearing that that's been getting to some very awesome stuff. Of course, I'm not watching it because I've already read the manga for Dr. Stone. Same thing with Spy Family. I'm current on Spy Family. So while there is like a very awesome your specific art going on in Spy Family right now, but it's not like a really priority thing for me to watch it because I'm already caught up with the manga. Like I said, Dr. Stone, enjoyed reading it or whatever, and I might circle back and dive into the anime again, especially because they're about to hit like some of like my all-time favorite moments of that of the series soon in what's going on right now in the anime. Goblin Slayer season 2, I don't really remember much of season 1 aside from just like the craziness of that first episode, but that might be one I might circle back to someday. I don't know. Rising of Shield Hero season 3, circle back to at some point. Attack on Titan, I still haven't watched that final episode yet, but once again, I already read and finished the manga a couple years ago, so not a big priority. Eminence and Shadow, that is one I want to get back to because I enjoyed while I was watching of season 1, but I still never finished season 1, so I need to circle back to that at some point. Same thing, Tokyo Revengers, don't really care about the anime because I already read and finished the manga last year. Pluto is one high on my list I want to check out because y'all know I love me some Naoki Urasawa, who made Monster and 20th Century Boys, and Pluto is basically his take on the Astro Boy series, so I'm definitely interested in checking that out. The 100 Girlfriends Who Really Really Love Me, that's a rom-com I want to check out. Same thing with Our Dating Story, the Inexperienced You, the Inexperienced Me, whatever. Berserk of Gluttony, maybe at some point. Faraway Paladin season 2, I'll check out at some point because I just watched season 1 and ended up kind of enjoying it. Dead Mount Death Play is one that I heard a lot of people actually enjoyed. Now, I didn't really, I watched a few episodes of that originally and I was kind of like, eh, you know, it was okay, but I heard a lot of people really enjoyed it, so and it almost immediately got renewed for a season 2, so I guess I'll circle back to it at some point. Since Magic Power is omnipotent, I was chipping away season 1 of that, so I'll continue that at some point. Good Night World, I had started this, whatever, I need to just go back and just finish it. I think those are kind of like the main ones I was really interested in, even maybe, like I said, circling back to at some point. Oh yeah, that kind of the Great Snow Sea movie. Does this even have a date on it yet? Wait, did this already air? It said aired October 13th. Is it on Crunchyroll? Or it's not on there yet. Okay. I'm about to say, I'm like, yo, how did I miss that? So, but yeah, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell, except for the main things that I am checking out for the fall 2023 anime season. Lots of great things to check out. And yeah, I think that's going to kind of do it for me for today. I don't really have any manga stuff I want to touch on for this week. I'll just say that for another episode. And yeah. So, but like I said, I just wanted to get this out there. Like I said, as we kind of get ready to go into this holiday week or whatever, wanted to give y'all a couple of things to tune into and to listen to over this holiday break. And so I hope that y'all enjoy this episode. And like I said, let me know what stuff y'all are watching for the fall season. Any stuff that I maybe talked about that you weren't even aware of that sounded interesting to you, or anything maybe I didn't mention that you want to put on my radar. Let me know, because you can always reach me everywhere at Danny's to Talk. And so feel free to hit me up, DM me, send me an email, all that fun stuff. I love hearing from y'all. Put a comment below if you're watching the YouTube video of this. And yeah, so with that being said, I think I'm going to wrap things up. Like I said, this week I have this going up. I have a TV show review I'm going to put up in the coming days and stuff, and some manga reviews and stuff I got in the chamber that I'm kind of going to work on and stuff. So yeah, so lots of good stuff I have on my radar that I hope that y'all enjoy. And so with that being said, treat yourself to something nice, read some manga, watch some anime and TV, play some video games, and live your best life. And with that, I'm out. Y'all have an awesome day, an awesome and safe week. If you're traveling, be careful, stay safe, and let me know if y'all find some good deals on some stuff, because your boy might be hunting. But yeah, thank you so much for watching and or listening, and I will catch you on the next one. Y'all have an awesome day. Peace.